You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. We're giving you the best content from each postseason edition of MLB At The Plate. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and J.P. Arencibia.
Welcome into the MLB At The Plate World Series podcast. Alongside J.P. Arencibia, I'm Holden Kushner. The Houston Astros and L.A. Dodgers are taking the 2017 Fall Classic to a Game 7. The Dodgers kept their season alive with a 3-1 win in Game 6, setting up a winner-take-all World Series on Wednesday night. Former Dodgers GM Ned Coletti and former Major League reliever LaTroy Hawkins helped JP and I set the stage for the final game of the 2017 baseball season. And how about that, JP? Justin Verlander was cruising. They got to him for two runs in the sixth, and they never looked back. This was a great baseball game.
Phenomenal. And actually, the craziest thing to me was first and second, nobody out, Chris Taylor up. I'm thinking, you got to bunt right here. You got to bunt right here. You got to run. And I see the first pitch, and he's not bunting. I'm going, oh, my goodness. This could be either, one, the worst move that's ever been done, because that was right there for me where Dave Roberts was going to get completely worn out if they didn't score a run. Or two, be a genius, let him hit a double, and now you have second and third with nobody out, and they were able to score two runs. And so for me, that was the complete turnaround for the game right there, is letting him swing the bat and do that, because, again, I feel like that was a situation where he either would have been the hero or the zero as a manager.
Yeah, again, I thought A.J. Hinch, listen, I know Verlander was going to have to come up in a little bit. I would have left Verlander in there, but ultimately it didn't matter because the bullpen only gave up one more run instead of two. And on the side with Dave Roberts, yeah, just going back to that move there, I mean, it was easy to second guess it with Rich Hill. Rich Hill was furious, but you know what? For Dave Roberts, it worked out. There's a reason why he's one of the best managers in Major League Baseball, and we're going to a Game 7. And I know before the game, you're feeling, hey, if it gets to Game 7, then it's probably going to be the Dodgers there. The visiting team, though, has won 52% of the Game 7s. That means absolutely nothing heading into this one, okay? I just wanted to bring up that in the past, there's not really an advantage either way, if you want to say a slight one to the visiting team. But I'm not as doomsday on the Astros as some of you guys are, you and Ned and a lot, because, and even Blummer to that point, I still think if you can go out there with Morton and McCullers and get the offense going against Darvish again, if not Darvish, they're going to have to see Kershaw. And listen, they've gotten to these guys before. I still think there's a decent shot that the Astros win a Game 7. That being said, the Dodgers are in very good shape, aren't they?
Yeah, I think you might have had too many of your daughter's candy. I think you might be on a little bit of a sugar high. Listen, I just don't see the Houston Astros taking them down at home. They needed to handle their business tonight for me. Again, the one thing I do like is that they didn't have to make the decision on whether to use or not use McCullers, because then obviously that gives them an opportunity to use them to Game 7 and even stretch them out even longer. But then again, vice versa, you have the Dodgers who have Alex Wood, who have Clayton Kershaw waiting in the wings there. So I just look at it as they needed to win. You hear about the beginning of the game today. You heard clubhouses. One clubhouse, the Astros partying, the Dodgers more serious. Obviously, they knew that they had the Astros had a game to play with, but now all of a sudden it goes from, oh, we have tomorrow just in case, no pressure, the pressure's on them, to being, oh, crap, now the pressure's on us. We're at their park. We have an opportunity. We had an opportunity to put them away. We didn't. The momentum is now on their side. Again, we have Morton, who I know he's been good, but if you match up Morton against any of their starters, I think, obviously, the Dodgers have the upper hand.
Well, here's the other big issue that the Astros have. And yes, Game 2 was the home run festival. But the Astros scored 20 runs over the weekend in Houston. This is from Jason Stark. They also scored 22 runs all postseason away from home. 8 games, 22 runs. So that's the biggest issue I have right now with the Astros going into that game. I mean, McCullers and Morton don't make me that nervous. I would be okay with that. I think their offense is what's got me a little bit nervous. When they're away from home, they crush in Houston. They have not crushed it here, and you've got a whole bunch of gamers over there on the Dodgers side, guys coming up with clutch hits as well. It's just a crapshoot. I don't think really when it comes down to it, game seven, you know what's going to happen. You just don't. Tonight, you had a feeling it was going to be 3-1 because you said it was going to be 3-1, and it ended up 3-1. Good luck getting it right tomorrow night. But I'll also say that there's no way you're going to see the same Darvish that you saw in that first start.
Oh, no chance.
No way.
And if there's anybody that's going to toe that rubber tomorrow and be completely dialed in, I mean, this guy has been made for these situations. He was the biggest name probably ever out of Japan, maybe until Shohei Ohtani, but to this date, Yu Darvish was the biggest name. He was the biggest ticket to come over here from Japan. This is what this guy has been bred for, and now we're going to see, because today the Houston Astros, their deadline acquisition, had to start, had the opportunity to shut it down. Tomorrow, Yu Darvish, deadline acquisition for the Dodgers, has a chance to shut it down. So tomorrow is when we see who really was the biggest acquisition at the trade deadline again, because if Darvish goes out there, and listen, because you know why, Verlander, even if Darvish lays the egg tomorrow, I still think that Verlander then becomes the biggest acquisition because of what he meant to this team during the playoffs. But as of right now, Darvish has the chance to change that narrative. And again, if there's anybody that's made for the big moment, it's Darvish.
McCullers is starting game seven, by the way. And it's something that you and I disagree with. And I'll throw you in the boat because we were talking about this before we came on the air. I think Morton has gone out there and shown that he started, and McCullers has shown he can come out of the bullpen. That being said, you know, Morton coming out there, McCullers going on regular rest, isn't he, in game seven?
Yeah.
So then they'll piggyback him with Morton, and they'll see how much they can get out there. I don't know what these guys can give. What?
I'm not on that, though. I'm not on McCullers going, because, again, if McCullers goes and he struggles, you have to piggyback him with Morton.
Correct.
Who are you more confident with?
I mean, personally, I'd rather go with Morton off the bat and piggyback him with McCullers.
I know, I'm saying, but if
McCullers is done.
Yeah, I'm saying, between the pitchers, though, who do you think is the...
Oh, of course you're going to go with Darvish.
No. Between McCullers and Morton, yeah, who's the better pitcher?
This series, I got to tell you, to be honest with you right now, I think it's more of a push.
You think it's a push?
Yeah, I think the way that, and you know, I'm a little more bullish on Charlie Morton than most. I think Morton's been throwing a hell out of the ball.
Yeah, but now I'll give you that. Now, who has started every time that he's gotten on the rubber?
McCullers?
No, Morton. McCullers came in and pitched four.
No, this is my whole thing. Right. McCullers has come out of the bullpen before. That's why I go with Morton.
Morton hasn't. And I go with, and here's my, and the difference between me, that's one for you, which is a good point. For me, the point is McCullers is the better pitcher out of them two. More dominant. Let's say more dominant pitcher. I won't say better. More dominant pitcher. So you start McCullers. McCullers gives you, or you start Morton. Morton gives you three good innings, four good innings. He starts to fall apart. I know that I have the better pitcher coming in the second half. But vice versa, McCullers starts. He goes three or four. I think that I'm downgrading going to Morton out of the bullpen.
You know, we just had this great game six, but all I can think about is game seven. That's really where I'm at right now. But let's go back and look at game six a little bit. We'll start with Verlander. Verlander was absolutely brilliant until he gave it the two runs in the sixth inning. He just ran into trouble there. Six innings, three hits, two runs, nine Ks, no walks. I thought he was terrific tonight. Listen, most of the time you give up two runs in six innings in a game six, you're probably going to be all right. But Rich Hill did his job through four and two thirds. And I say he did his job. He did. I mean, Dave Roberts had him down for maybe, 12 to 15 outs. He got him 14. Absolutely amazing that Roberts would go yank him that early, given that he would have to use more out of his bullpen again. But Morrow looked great. He's pitching every game this series. There's only one other man that's ever done that. He's pitching all seven games of the World Series. Watson got his out. Maeda got an out. And then Jansen come out. And Maeda got an inning. And then Jansen came out and got six outs. And he'll be able to do that again tomorrow, if necessary.
And how much better did they look with one day of rest? Was it not just night and day, there's the life and the stuff that they had on that.
Well, here's
mound.
My question, right? So they go 3 days in a row and they just look completely gassed, even by game two in Houston, right? I thought by game two was they were a little bit tired. So this game, they look great after a day of rest. Do you expect them to look that good tomorrow?
I do just because it's 2 days as opposed to the three in a row. Because you go 2 day off, 3 day off, two. So I think because it's the two as opposed to that third day, it makes that literally that throwing one, throwing two, that third day is where it's bad. Because remember, they always say that your soreness, you've worked out, right? I think you have once in your life, right? Well, they always say that the soreness is not the day after, but the day after that. It's the second day. So it's the same exact thing to do with the person who is pitching. And right now it's crazy. I'm watching the TV. McCullers is out there getting his throwing in because, you know, obviously he had to save his bullets because he didn't know if he was going to have to pitch tonight. Obviously he's going tomorrow, so now he's just getting loose. He didn't want to mess with his routine. So that's pretty cool to see.
I mean, how about that guy too? Probably thinking, hey, I might have to come in here, get three innings tonight. And he didn't even get warm. And now he's getting a start in the biggest game of the year. And we've been lucky enough now. This is two straight years with game sevens. Last year was one of the great games you'll ever had. You had the Cubs factor. Then you had a game, you know, basically, it was ended in extra innings. You had a rain delay during that game. That was one that I'll never forget. And maybe this one will be one we never forget, too. And for the L.A. crowd, you know, a lot of L.A. crowds, they get there late. But this is different. This is the World Series. That crowd sounded like they were going bananas tonight. That was an awesome crowd into every single pitch. Absolutely loved it. Loved it.
You know what I thought was funny, too, and I know my better half loved it, too, was Rich Hill stepping off and having – you saw what he did. He wasn't happy about Yuli Gurriel and what he did. So he's on the mound, steps off, and lets the crowd boo him even more. That was what that was done for.
That was brilliant.
And so I was like, geez, he's got some – very, very, you know what, big, you know what, to be able to do that in that situation, kind of like take that for what you did. But, man, what that crowd was great. I can't imagine. What do you think they're telling McCullers right now as he's throwing on that field? Because, you know, if you're looking at the same screen I'm looking at, I'm watching Fox, and you see that there's still people out in the right field seats, and McCullers is out there throwing. So I can imagine what those fans are telling him right now.
All right, let's go to our buddy LaTroy Hawkins here. Hawk, thanks for coming on, pal. How are you?
What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Terrific. Hey, we were just talking about bullpens and how they – listen, both bullpens look completely gassed in Game 5. They're playing 3 days in a row. Tonight, the Dodgers bullpen looked great after a day of rest. So they were gassed after Game 5. They had the day off. Tonight, they look great. Do you think there's any ramifications in the game seven, or are they going to look fresh again?
Well, I think they're all extremely tired just because, you know, the managers have definitely ran those guys out there almost in every game. But I don't think tomorrow is going to be a big deal. Tomorrow is winner take all, and I'm sure whatever they got in the medicine cabinet, guys, as you know, JP, they'll be in it trying to find anything they can to get them through this last game.
Yeah, I agree. They're going to be all ready to go without. They won't feel anything tomorrow. That's for sure. The Astros announced McCullers as a starter. I think there's a difference between a guy. McCullers has actually come out of the bullpen this postseason. Morton has not. Obviously, if there's any kind of piggyback situation, you know that Morton would be the guy that they go to. Do you think that that kind of hurts them? I mean, I thought they should have done it the opposite. But what are your thoughts on that?
LaTroy, you there? All right, we must have LaTroy. We'll try to get it back on the horn here. What do you think? You answer your own question.
Well, like I said before, I think it's dumb. I think you don't have a guy. You don't have a guy that's ever, or at least in this playoffs, that's come out of the bullpen, and all of a sudden you have another guy who's come out of a bullpen and shut it down through four innings that sent you to the World Series, and you're gonna go and flip-flop that now. I just think sometimes I don't understand why, if things have worked one way, why are you gonna mess it up?
Well, I mean, we'll hear AJ Hinch a little bit later in the show. I don't get it, but I'm with you, man. I love the fact that McCullers is thrown out in right field. He's just trying to get a little loose, right? Or maybe work off some energy or
– No, because here's what's happening. So when you're like today, right, he goes into the game. Well, he'll play his light catch, but he's not gonna stretch it out like he would if he would have been starting tomorrow, because with the possibility of pitching today. So now what happens is he's going to have to go through his normal routine, like if he would be starting tomorrow. So he couldn't go through that routine today because he might have had to have pitched the back half of this game. You understand what I'm saying? So
yes.
What happens is you go out there and you throw, you stretch your arm out, you treat it like you would the day before a game. So now that you have the information you're starting tomorrow, you can go and do that. But before that, before the game started, he couldn't get into that routine because you don't want to waste those bullets. Because right now he's probably going to go through a little bit of a longer throwing program, do a little bit of a flat ground, which is when the catcher is squatted down and you're pitching from the surface, work on some pitches, and then get ready to start tomorrow.
All right, so you were asking LaTroy a question. LaTroy's back, so why don't you pick that up again, JP?
Well, first off, I wanted to say, I forgot to say it, that was the smoothest what's up response to us I have ever heard. LaTroy, when we first put him on the horn, so I thought that was pretty slick. But my question to you is, you have Charlie Morton, who started every game in the playoffs. You have McCullers, who piggybacked him last time to send you to the World Series. Now, all of a sudden, they're flip-flopping where McCullers is starting and Morton could be the piggyback. Morton hasn't been on the back end of – he hasn't come out of the bullpen at all this playoffs. Do you think that is a smart thing to do?
Well, you know, those guys are managing a lot smarter than I am, but I'm sure they had that conversation. They said Charlie Morton down and McCullers and told them the scenario, and Charlie Morton's going to do whatever, you know, is best for the team in this situation. It's winner take all tomorrow. Egos have to go out of the window. And, you know, he's a professional. He understands what's at stake. And if he can go out there and if he can, you know, will himself to be able to come out of the bullpen and back McCullers up and do whatever his manager asked him to do to go and go out there and win this game, then that's what he's going to do.
Yeah, no doubt. But, Mike, you know, what I'm saying is as far as routine-wise, it's got to be a much different routine to go out there, throw your long toss, and get ready for a game as opposed to – and one of the guys has done it and one of the guys is not.
Well, that's true, but I'm sure he's going to try to keep his routine as close as normal, but we know it's not going to be – you know, it's not going to be what it is when he's starting, but he's going to have to figure out a way to get past that. If there's a mental block, get past that, because AP tomorrow is one to take all. There's no, okay, well, we got Verlander or Kershaw going on Thursday. No. Tomorrow is it, so – he's going to have to figure out a way to go out there and mix in, cram his routine in if he's called upon to go into the game to, you know, back up or piggyback on McCullers.
Well, yeah,
it's tough. It's not easy. It's not easy. But, you know, like you're a big leaguer, I'm a big leaguer. There's a will, there's a way. You got to find that way to get it done.
Yeah, no doubt. And then I was trying to explain the Holden, and maybe you can explain it better than I. McCullers is out there throwing on the line. And obviously guys prepare differently when you might pitch in the game, or obviously now he knows that he's pitching tomorrow, so he can go and throw some bullets. Can you explain why he'd have to go out there because he didn't pitch today to keep his arm fresh?
Well, once they let him know that he would be starting game seven, you know, he had potentially a chance to pitch tonight, so he didn't go through his normal routine like we talked about earlier. So he was going through his normal routine, getting his long toss in, just getting himself getting his body, getting the muscle memory going, just, you know, trying to get, you know, close to his normal routine as possible. But, you know, it's going to be game seven, man. It's going to be a lot of nerves. If he can go out there and pitch a strong four and a half innings like he did the last time and, you know, pass that ball to the bullpen, you know, they should be in good shape because his breaking ball was very good until he started to get tired his last start.
Hey, Hawk, thanks for hopping on, buddy. We appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
All right, pal. Take care of yourself. LaTroy Hawkins, now joined by Ned Colletti, longtime Dodgers GM, joining us from Chavez Ravine. Ned's holding the JP. Thanks for hopping on. You know, before we even get into Game 7, because it seems like everybody's looking forward to that, just tell me how big Jock Peterson has been in this series and what he has meant to this organization over the first six games.
I tell you what, he's really come alive. He was He was really kind of struggling for a lot of this year, lost playing time, lost the center field job to Chris Taylor, and ends up getting optioned out after being here for almost three straight years. And was really a kind of a blow to the ego and everything. And then there was some debate whether or not he would be on the postseason roster. And whatever it is, whether it's motivation, whether it's clear in his mind, that really getting his thought process clean, whatever it was, he has been terrific. He's got three home runs in the World Series. And that is phenomenal for anybody, especially but when a guy has got as much swing and miss as he's got to his swing. And he hit .211 this year, perhaps, with 11 home runs, somewhere in that neighborhood. You know, and to come back and to earn the trust of Dave Roberts and to be able to participate in the World Series and get key hits, but also opposite field home runs. That's the second one he's hit to the opposite field. And a big one tonight, obviously, to go from two runs to three runs.
Talk about the situation, Ned. First and second, nobody out, Chris Taylor up there. And I'm thinking, man, this is an opportunity, National League style baseball opportunity to bunt. Swings the bat.
Well,
what are your thoughts in that situation?
Well, I think when watching Verlander at that point in the game, I mean, he was starting to tire some, and he was starting to really struggle with his command. And I think they took advantage of it a little bit. I think they went hunting for what they got. And I think that was a key thing. There was another opportunity to bunt earlier with Utley that started that inning. When you had a runner on first and you're down by a run, do you bunt Utley to get the runner to second base at the top of the order coming? Because they had double switched with Utley and the pitcher. And they didn't. And then Utley gets hit by a pitch on a 1-2 pitch by Verlander. So I think that, they don't bunt much. They don't really like bunting. And I think that it paid off for them tonight. With both Chase Utley, who didn't bunt, ended up with a hit by pitch, now first and second. And then Chris Taylor has been really good all year long. Didn't make the team out of spring training. It's really probably the public choice to make it as a 25th man, but had to go back to Oklahoma City for a few weeks until somebody got hurt and he came up. He had never played the outfield. Now he leads off, plays center field for the Dodgers and went to the World Series. I tell you, another key part for me in this game is the Reddick at bat. With second and third and nobody out. They're up by a run, fourth inning. They've got a chance to really blow it open. And he goes 3-0, and then Rich Hill comes back and strikes him out. And from my vantage point, I couldn't tell if strike three swung or missed, if it was a strike or if it might have been ball four. But when you think of Reddick hitting where he hits in that order, hitting eighth, now it's a National League ballpark, you've got one out, and now you've got Verlander up. Strikes out. Now you got two outs. There's no such thing as a sacrifice fly. Now you're dying for a hit. And all the momentum you had with runners on second and third and nobody out is gone. And they got Springer to fly out. And next thing you know, it's 1-0 still. And now it's 1-1. And soon they're after 2-1 and 3-1.
Well, two things. It would have been a strike three, so it was a phenomenal pitch by Rich Hill right there.
Okay.
And then the second one is, you don't bunt with Utley. What you do is you put the magnet in his shoe and you have Verlander hit him. Much smarter. And then my second question for you is tomorrow, okay, you start Darvish. Obviously, we've already heard how Clayton Kershaw said he could have the ball game six. How confident are you running out Kershaw tomorrow, game seven? What situation? How could you see that unfolding?
I can see Kenley Jansen and Kershaw pitching the eighth and the ninth inning some way, somehow, if the Dodgers have a lead. How it checks out, who's pitching when, I can't tell you because it depends where the lineup is at. Houston has got a lot of right-handed bats at the top of their lineup. They do get a little bit left-handed on the second half of their lineup. But I don't doubt that Clayton Kershaw will get in the game tomorrow at some point in time.
Yeah, and he already said he could throw 27 innings. So, I mean, hopefully I don't want to see a 27-inning game. Personally, I think that's a little bit too much. But, he's raring to go. You know he wants to get back in there, too, after giving up the 4-run lead back in Houston. And the best pitcher in the world wants to prove exactly how great he is. Hey, before we let you go... So I was with you in Chicago for the World Series. I did not get to Game 6 and 7 in Cleveland with you. Game 7 last year. Revisit that just a little bit. How great that was. It was a different scenario because you had the Cubs going after, the biggest story in sports and just ages. But this year, another game seven, maybe a better series from top to bottom as far as the games being played. And it's not like the Dodgers have won a World Series very recently. So you see any similarities besides for the fact that it's game seven?
Well, I think there are similarities. Cleveland hadn't won since 1948, Cubs since 1908. These teams, Houston has never won, and the Dodgers have won since 88. So there is a long drought. Both series last year and this year. I think when you think about the Cubs, you know, for them to win it, they had to win it on the road, and they had to come back in three games to one down. The Dodgers are playing at home, and I've been in this situation before, and it's really tough to come into a park when you're a road park late in the season, obviously World Series time, and to have a three games or two lead and a chance to win, and you get beat in game six. The winter solstice in December is the longest day of the year. But tonight till tomorrow at 5 o'clock for the Houston Astros, that'll be the longest day of the year, waiting on that game to get here. It's a rugged period of time. Dodgers can't wait to get it going. They got all the momentum right now. It has swung from probably them having a 40-60 chance, now to having a 70-30 chance, depending on how the starting pitchers get out of the gate tomorrow. But there is a lot of similarity to it, except that the Dodgers are doing it at home with a little bit of momentum. The Cubs had to go on the road, had to win one game at Wrigley, the fifth game of the World Series. Then they had to go into Cleveland and win two. And we know how epic that game seven was with the rain delay and Davis hitting that big home run to come back late. So baseball has been thrilling for quite a while now in the postseason.
Yep, no doubt about it. Thanks, Ned. Appreciate it. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
All right, gentlemen. Talk to you later.
You got it. You got it. Game seven. We'll have our pregame show, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, and then game number 7, 8:20 Eastern, first pitch. This is MLB at the Plate World Series postgame.
You're listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. And we'll be right back with more after this.
The 11th Hour with Brian Williams. Tomorrow's headlines before they go to print.
I've just been handed some great reporting.
Tomorrow's questions before anyone's asked them.
Could you make an obstruction case?
Tomorrow's conversation tonight.
Who is there to stand up to the boss and speak truth to power?
Not a single person.
The 11th Hour with Brian Williams. More than the day that was, it's the day that will be. Weeknights at 11 Eastern on MSNBC.
And now, time for more of the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and J.P. Arencibia.
Welcome back, MLB at the Plate World Series postgame show. Holden Kushner, J.P. Arencibia. Again, just a great baseball game tonight. 3-1, Dodgers get the victory. We got a game seven coming up tomorrow. But, J.P., let's get into a couple of standout performances on the mound, and we are going to throw like a pro.
It's time for Throw Like a Pro, presented by National Car Rental. This is where we take a moment to spotlight individuals, key late game situations, or entire bullpens to open up for discussion. Go national, go like a pro.
All right, so go back in the game log here. Your guy, Brandon Morrow, his 6 fastballs tonight. 3 were 98 miles an hour. 3 were 99 miles an hour on the gun, JP. On Sunday, it was 95, 96, 97. So there you go. The day of rest. Despite the fact this guy's pitched in all 6 games, that day of rest may not have helped anybody more than it did Brandon Morrow, huh?
No doubt. And literally, with those 4 miles an hour, if he throws that first pitch to George Springer, 98 or 99, it's not the same result as the 95 that he hit out of the yard. And that's the biggest difference, the finish on the pitches. And when you're throwing 98, 99, you just miss those pitches. And even Kenley Jansen, he was another one. His pitches looked very, very sharp. He had a lot better finish to it. And that day for that entire bullpen, I'm sure, helped. But especially for those two, Anakena Maeda, who has been used. I mean, those guys have just been – might as well call them JanSport because they've been put on everybody's back.
All right, so we got that. We got Morrow taking care of business there. Watson came in. Maeda had another shutout inning. And then Kenley Jansen with 2 innings. Let's talk about Game 7 in this Dodgers bullpen. You'll have Darvish starting. Hey, Dave Roberts does not mind going to the well early and often. You know, he said that Kershaw texted him before game six that I'm ready to go tonight. He said, you're not going tonight. You're going to go get the final out in game number seven. That being said, he's not getting the final out in game seven, is he? It's got to be Kenley Jansen.
I read the same thing that you read, and I would say that it's Kenley Jansen.
I mean, it was out of Dave Roberts' mouth. He also, by the way, said that Jansen was only going to work three outs tonight, and he ended up getting six.
Six, yeah. So, I mean, listen, it's the World Series. It's the last game of the year. Yeah, I mean, you're pulling it all out. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to go. I mean, you can prepare for every scenario, but I'm sure things will change. So, again, I think that they would do it, Kershaw, then go to Jansen, but – I mean, you never know. We'll see. What happens if you have a pitcher in Darvish who just really mows him down tomorrow? I think everything is stemming from how the starting pitching does, because if the starting pitching doesn't go good, I think you may see Kershaw out of the bullpen early.
That would be absolutely amazing to see him come in and the reaction from that crowd. Then we go to Houston. You know, Musgrove came out, did his inning of work, gave up a run. Gregerson, Liriano. How about Francisco Liriano finally getting into this series? With all that being said, it's Morton and McCullers right now. McCullers will start, then Charlie Morton. What else could AJ Hinch throw out there and feel comfortable with at this point? Maybe Davinsky, Peacock, maybe?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say Peacock. Arrested Peacock is really the only other option, I think. I mean, you go, Keuchel. Keuchel may be a guy that you can go to. I don't know how he would do out of the bullpen. But that's pretty much it. I think that's why the Houston Astros are not the favorite. Their options are at a much lower capacity, and they would have to throw somebody out there that they don't want, as opposed to the Dodgers. They're going to have a lot more options.
Man, it's going to be absolutely wild in Game 7 to see how these managers work through their bullpens after the starters, because it's just such a different game over the last 2 years even than we've seen in years past. Think about it. 2 years ago, we weren't talking about this. It was all hands on deck in Game 7, but it seems like we've had a couple of Game 7s in this series already, and we saw it last year where just starting pitchers are not getting deep into these games, and I cannot imagine. I mean, even if Darvish is cruising, I can't imagine Darvish throwing more than five innings tomorrow night. Unless he's got a no-hitter, once Roberts sees he goes through the order two times, want him seeing there a third time.
It's hook central. These dudes, gosh, I've never seen so many hooks. And, I mean, it's right out of the gate. You give up one knock. Morrow was 98-99. He gave up one knock to Gurriel. He gone. I mean, it's like –
it's amazing.
That's the one thing that – I mean, and I guess stats, it's everything obviously is stat-driven. You have to – it's almost like I wonder if there's a stat that they figured out that as soon as one person is – it's almost like it spreads like wildfire. One guy gets a hit, then everybody else is supposed to get the hit, so we have to change the pitcher. I just don't – I don't get it. But, I mean, if Darvish is mowing down guys, I would imagine it'd be tough unless somewhere in the lineup his at-bat is up where they have to do the double switch. I don't see them having to go, because Darvish is the kind of guy who can be so dominant that he can go out there and spin you a freaking no-hitter. I mean, so you just have to be careful that you don't get too panicky, and hopefully, I mean, but they'll dictate everything. I mean, Darvish, the way he's throwing the ball and how he's making the Houston hitters and how he's maintaining his pitch count, I mean, that all that stuff will dictate what goes next.
All right, and that, my friends, is Throw Like a Pro, presented by National Car Rental.
That was Throw Like a Pro, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro.
Best day ever, home run tracker, statistically speaking. Let's start with best day.
Best day ever, presented by National Car Rental. Go National, go like a pro.
Who is it at the plate? Is it Jock Peterson?
Yeah, I'm going Jock Peterson. That home run... You give your team an extra run so that your pitcher can go out there and attack right away. When you pitch with a one-run lead or a two-run lead, very different, because you can still give up a solo home run and be in the lead as opposed to a tie game. So I think that home run was the biggest and the biggest hit of the night for me.
All right. How about on the mound? I'm just going to throw some names out there. Verlander, despite, you know, getting the loss, he's 3 hits, 2 runs, 9 Ks, and no walks over 6 innings. Morrow came in, got a very important shutout inning. Hill gave up a run in 4 2/3. Jansen, the 2-inning save. Who gets it?
I mean, I'm giving it to Jansen. He was lights out today. 2 innings, 3 punch-outs, and the save. I mean, I think he's the guy that has to get it. I don't know what your thoughts are, but that's my guy.
I mean, listen, yeah, I thought Verlander got the most outs, and he looked terrific, and he did not deserve the fate that he got. There was a time earlier in that ball game where he ended up having a hit. Remember they had 2nd and 3rd? Reddick comes up, Verlander comes. Wasn't there nobody out? Nobody out, and they couldn't get any more runs across. They were just up 1-0. I think Verlander deserved better fate than he did, but you know what? He had a 1-run lead and he left down a run. So I'll go with Jansen on that. He got the six outs, the most important ones at the back end, the toughest ones to get. He didn't allow a base runner. He struck out 3. So the Astros have gotten to him before in this series. They did not tonight. They did not get to him tonight. Home run tracker now. Not too much to track.
MLB at the plate. Home run tracker.
Jock Peterson hitting his 3rd home run of the World Series. 3rd home run of the World Series. And then George Springer hitting his 4th home run of the World Series. Think about this for a second. How many guys, you know, if you hit 3 home runs in a World Series in the past, that's the greatest performance ever. George Springer's now hit 4 home runs in a World Series. Lenny Dykstra did it with the Phillies way back when. But this is ridiculous. Springer and Peterson, the ball's going. And listen, you might not want to hear this. Peterson's home run was a pop fly to left field tonight. That 381-foot home run, that thing was completely
juiced up. Give me a break. No, you're insane. You've lost it. You've had too much candy from your daughter. I'm completely convinced.
I mean, that thing was off the top of the bat. Dude, it just kept going. He thought it was a pop fly.
First off, he did not think it was a pop fly. As soon as he hit it, he was like unsure in the sense of, I think I got it, but I don't want to pimp it just in case because it's tough to pimp opposite field homers. But it's asinine for you to say that he didn't get that.
By the way, I loved his pimp job. That was the best thing ever. Stop complaining, old people. We need more of that.
Dude, what about they were showing Musgrove, too. Musgrove was, like, staring at him. I'm like, dude, yeah. He just hit probably one of the biggest home runs in the series. What do you expect them to do?
McCann probably wanted to pick him up and throw him down at
the
plate.
I think that from when McCann did that to Carlos Gomez to nowadays, it's a big difference. I mean, you've seen some of the home runs. I mean, Correa's bat flipping, all these guys, you know, they're all doing their thing. So they're entertainers. And I promise you, after this World Series, I don't know the numbers, I don't know the stats. I imagine that it's going to have to be one of the better viewed, and I think that they're going to have gained many more fans because of how amazing of a series it's been.
Yep, and Springer's home run went 389. I think Springer's the MVP as of now if the Astros win it, and who's the MVP for the Dodgers? I don't know yet. Is it Jock Peterson? Would he be the man that you give it to? I think that has to be – it'll be determined tomorrow, but, man – Taylor had another nice night tonight. Peterson has had a good series, too. We'll find out. Also, statistically speaking, where we look very deep into the numbers. Let's get to that.
Statistically speaking.
All right, so here we go. I'm going to give you this again. 52% of the winners in Game 7s throughout the history of Major League Baseball have been the road team. The road team. George Springer joins Gene Tennis from 1972 with the A's. He's the only player to hit 4 game-tying or go-ahead home runs in a World Series. Astros 14 home runs this World Series, tied for the most home runs by a team in any World Series in history. The 2002 Giants did that. And Jock Peterson, 2 home runs in 43 second-half games. He has 3 home runs in 5 World Series games. Let's get to Astros manager A.J. Hinch. He was just at the podium talking about actually when that offense couldn't strike when Verlander was absolutely on a roll early.
You know, the 5th inning, the 6th inning, 7th inning, we had pressure on them, you know, and they just made pitches or made plays or, you know, obviously got out of some jams. So, obviously small margin here in this game and these two teams, and obviously credit to them, and we wish we would have had a little bit of a breakout. You know, I thought Marwin in the sixth had a line drive, at least playing right up the middle. Obviously, Tuve's play was close, first and third, and they navigated around the bottom of the order with the pitcher. So, you know, tough to not you know, tacking on a few runs.
To your left, AJ, Andrew.
AJ, I have two questions. Just first off, what do you think of Justin's performance?
I thought he was good, especially early. You know, he brings so much energy and so much, you know, aggressiveness to the game, and I thought he entered the game with that. I thought he was, you know, obviously cruising. He had the one hiccup in the middle of the game, but that was about it. They did a good job putting some at-bats together. They got some big hits. Obviously, the elevated fastball to Taylor in one of the biggest moments of the game. So, again, I thought he stepped up and put as much into that game as he could.
And what was
so, JP, he's talking about Verlander there. Again, six innings, three hits, two runs, nine Ks, didn't walk anybody. Ned said he looked a little bit tired. Maybe that's what it was. He was brilliant. He was absolutely brilliant until giving up those two runs. And even though he did give up those two runs, his outing was still just stellar. He was great tonight.
I thought when watching the first few innings, I said, man, this dude is going to just mow down these guys. He looked unhittable. But that's this game, and this game can get away one inning. It's always the quote-unquote crooked number that, you know, anything bigger than a one that you want to stay away from, and all of a sudden you go from first and second, nobody out, where you can have one ball that turns into a double play, and you're out of that inning with one more out. Or what happened with Chris Taylor, he kind of inside out one, he was late on the fastball, shoots it to right field, and now he's got a double, man on second and third. You got one run in, you're still in a pickle. And he obviously did a good job of getting out of that with only two runs, because he should have given up three runs but he got Justin Turner to fly out in the infield and not for the second out. So you just have to you know that this dude went out there and he let it all fly. I mean, he was 95, 97 the entire time. It's just, you know, you can only do so much, and it's he got that lead early, but again, this Dodger team doesn't ever stop, and they continue to have good at-bats, and they got his pitch count up enough. And unfortunately, you're playing in the American, or you're in the National League now, which gave the advantage to the Dodgers because they had to pull him out to get Gattis to pinch hit.
And Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager at the podium, talk about Jock Peterson.
Dave, baseball's a game of redemption, and we saw a lot of it today with Jock Peterson, with Kenley Jansen, with Morrow, with Maeda. Can you just talk about the resiliency of this team to reach this point?
It's been that way all year, and I think that, you know, it's not easy to kind of always have good results, but to see the fight, the resiliency in our guys, the no quit, the playing for one another, we have that in our clubhouse. And so when you get hit in the mouth and you see guys respond by wanting the baseball again and wanting another chance for redemption or whatever you want to term it, that's a good thing. So our guys aren't afraid of the moment, and we've put a lot of time into this moment right here. So we're not done yet.
Richard, fourth row to your right.
Dave, how much do you think Clayton can give you tomorrow?
I think part of it is how efficient he is, but I know that he was up in the pen today. So one reason I wanted to stay away from him is so we can get him give him a little bit more tomorrow. So when you're talking about Clayton Kershaw, game seven, I think anything's within reason. So now when we look at what we have, we're going to go through it and think through how we can kind of get through, navigate tomorrow. But knowing that we have Alex Wood, Clayton, and everyone else available, that's a good sign. So, but Clayton, it's hard to kind of put a number on him.
Try to do four more in the second row on the right here.
So speaking of Clayton Kershaw, big league pitchers have a lot of options when it comes to staying in control on the mound. When it comes to you and business travel, there's only one true choice for total control. That's National Car Rental. You're always the ace when you're a member of the Emerald Club. You can skip the counter, choose any car in the aisle, and go. You can even pick a full size or above, and you'll only pay the mid-size price. So when you take them out for your next business trip, take control and go with National and be guaranteed to have a little more payoff in your pitch. Take control. Go with National Car Rental. Go National. Go like a pro. That's it for the MLB at the Plate World Series post-game podcast. We're Ryan and Dustin in the LA studio. JP here and CB alongside me. I'm Holden Kushner, and we'll catch you mañana.
Thank you for listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. Tune in, your everything audio app.